The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hey guys, it's Jordan Younger, your host of the Balanced Blonde Soul on Fire podcast. Here we go deep on all things astrology, awakening, wellness, motherhood, channeling, aliens, and so much more. We have deep conversations, we go to other realms. It's a lot of fun. So stick around, let's dive on in. I cannot wait to connect.
Hello and welcome back to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. I'm sorry for my voice. I have a bad cold this week. If you follow on Instagram, then you've probably seen me talking about it, not complaining, just talking about how it is so hard to be pregnant almost in the third trimester and to get sick at the same time. And also on top of it, to work full time, I feel like moms are the underrated superheroes in every single way. And I just need to keep shouting that from the rooftops. So today we have that conversation and way more with the amazing Mandy Morris of Manifest with Mandy. When I heard about Mandy and I heard that she talks about the science behind manifestation, I knew that she was the perfect guest for the show. We've been talking a lot about manifesting for 7 years on this show. But specifically, in recent weeks, we had such an amazing conversation with David Gia and another amazing conversation with Jenna Zoe, where we talked about manifesting in both of those episodes, and you guys loved those conversations. So today with Mandy, doesn't disappoint. We're kind of going on the same series, a topic that we've been discussing. She also has a new book out called The Promise, which is all about breaking free from limitations and stepping into the light of your authentic self. And beyond talking about manifestation in this conversation, we do talk about balancing motherhood. She is a mother of three. She is recently postpartum. And we talk about homeschooling, as well as her previous book, The 8 Secrets to Powerful Manifesting, How to Build a Business in This Industry, and so much more. She blends psychology with science and, of course, the spirituality of manifestation. And I know you guys are going to love this conversation. Before we dive into the episode, I just wanted to remind you that I just relaunched my platform, The Quantum Method. Well, I should say I renamed the platform, The Quantum Method. I am so excited about it. It is my membership platform, the first and only membership that I have ever offered, where you can find everything from meditations to affirmations, pep talks, bonus podcasts, Pleiadian channelings, which we call wisdom transmissions, which I feel one day the whole platform will turn into transmissions because those are so special. And it's a membership, so there's a thriving community. You can make friends from all over the world. And I am putting all of my time and energy into the membership right now. It is so special. So you can find it at thequantummethod.co. You can also find it in the show notes and on my website. And pricing is super affordable. That was really important to me. So I hope that you'll consider joining us. It is a very special place to be and to hang. And now let's get into this conversation with Mandy Morris.
Congrats on your book coming out today. Honored that you're here spending this time with me and with our audience. How cool.
Thank you.
How does it feel?
It feels so good. I think this book was like my love letter to humanity. That's what I keep calling it. So whenever you birth something into the world, I know you know this too, in many ways, it just feels so right. So I'm just like kind of vibing on a high cloud today.
Absolutely. Yeah. And is this your first book? Your
third. My third.
You have three kids and three books.
I know.
So basically we have six kids.
Hit me with one more three.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. 333, baby. Yeah.
Right?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And how did you get into this work and this field?
I think it was mainly like my past, my trauma. Most of my life was not beautiful by any means. And I experienced so much trauma. And then I chose the dysfunction because it became normal for me. And so I found myself in really dysfunctional relationships and just like unhappy. I didn't like myself. I thought there was something wrong with me, you know, the unworthiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I hit this breaking point. It sounds really theatrical, but it happened this way. I was 25. I dropped to my knees. And the guy that I was dating at the time, it just became abusive. He'd been verbally abusive and stuff, but it became physical that night. And it just like woke me up. And I was like, what am I doing? What is this? And I dropped to my knees, called out to my higher power. And I was like, I have got to be here for something other than this. Like life is just simply not worth living if this is all it is. And there was something that kind of like washed over me in that moment. It was so beautiful and so powerful. And my life completely flipped upside down. And I gave myself over to service for humanity. And then my work began. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's been a wild journey since. That was almost a decade ago now.
That's so powerful.
It's crazy.
Oh, my God. Okay, so you were 25.
Yeah.
So now does that mean you're 34?
I'm almost 35. Yeah.
When's your birthday?
November. I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, you're a Scorpio. That was my next question.
Yes.
November what?
8th.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Jackson, is that your birthday?
Seven.
Oh,
my gosh.
Oh, my God. That's
almost
wild. Yeah, that's incredible. Okay, so you'll be 35.
Yes.
I'll be 34 this year.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're similar.
Yep.
On a similar trajectory.
Yeah.
I'm October. And I totally relate. It doesn't sound dramatic to me at all that you had that moment where you dropped to your knees and you saw the light.
Yeah.
And your higher soul came in and spoke to you.
Yeah.
So what did that transition look like? What were you doing before that, like for work and just
general? Yeah, I was working, I guess you'd call it a corporate job. I was working for a university, helping people like teachers and nurses get certified or, you know, get educated and all that. And it was something that I'd loved to do for a while, but all of a sudden I just like hit a brick wall and I was miserable. I couldn't perform at work. And really it was looking back, I think it was literally my soul saying, knock, knock, like this is not what we're going to keep doing. But I fought it because, well, I always provide for myself. So I must have a job. It must be consistent. You know, we were homeless when I was born. And so that kind of like was ingrained in me of like, I need to have a roof over my head. And I need, you know, in a way that I didn't even understand. And so it was really primal for me. And so life was messy and sticky and just kind of sad. I didn't have wonderful friends in my life for the most part. Obviously, my relationship was really toxic, and it was just like everywhere I turned, I was choosing just chaos and dysfunction, you know? I was ready for change, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. How did you then change in terms of like career and stepping into the work that you do today?
Yeah, so my amazing now husband, after I had that moment, I think it was like 2 weeks later, he just magically showed up. And I'd kind of set the intention, like universe, God, whatever, like remove everybody who's not meant for me, which was that relationship as well, and bring me everyone who's meant for me in the highest good of all. And my husband showed up like 2 weeks later.
Wow.
And he was just this like, my soul was like, where have you been? Like I knew him like somewhere inside of myself. And I remember one of the first, like he gave me flowers and a note when we kind of started dating. We were friends at first. And he said in that letter, he's like, you have something important to give the world and I'm going to help you do it. And it was kind of like at that point, we just combined forces and I just started sharing my message and sharing what I was learning and my own healing process. So I had to heal myself and then the tools worked so well and they were just coming through intuitively. Like, what do I need to do here? Like, I didn't learn from anyone or anything and it just became beautiful. And so I documented the process and then I started teaching other people it and I actually started working in trauma with men. And then it kind of blossomed into manifestation, which is so crazy. And now it's kind of a mix of things. I certify therapists and counselors. I have like accredited programs. And then I love talking about manifestation because it's fun.
It is.
You know, and the magic
it's the
of
best.
Life. Yeah.
So let's talk about manifestation.
Let's do it.
What's your definition of manifestation?
Such a good question. So I think I want to go backwards because I feel like manifestation gets a bad rap. It's like the magic wand and like, let's mantra our way to a great life. And I'm like, that's beautiful by all means. But most of us have a lot that we're coming to the table with. So we can say a mantra, but our brain's going to be like, we don't believe it. Right. So I kind of looked at it as we're manifesting all the time. It's not like an action you really do when people are like, we're going to go manifest. I'm like, no, every single moment you are having a conversation with the universe. Like, unless you're dead, you're an energetic being. And you may not know what you're saying, but there is a conversation happening. And so I wanted to break that down. So I ended up, I guess this is the one part I did learn in essence, but I studied quantum physics and mechanics, just, you know, high level. And then I had one of my friend's fathers who was like a nuclear physicist. So I love like the super sciencey stuff. And I'm like, okay, so since the universe works like this, how does this relate to us as humans? And so I started kind of like bridging that gap. But I feel like manifestation is science, psychology, and the magic. So since we're manifesting all the time, like, what are we actually asking for? And that's a huge part of my work, is not so much how to manifest, but more, here's what you're asking for right now that you're unaware of and why it's not showing up properly, because it's coming from the wrong part of you, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And the science is something that I have so much more to learn. I'm much more on the side of the magic and the intricacies of the universe. And I think a lot of the listeners are familiar with that about me. So I was so happy to have you on because I want to hear about the science and I love quantum physics. And I mean, even though I have so much to learn, I think it's the most fascinating thing. And I don't even really see quantum physics as science, like as like the rest of science, because it's actually so magical.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of the thing, like the magic of manifestation is like what ancient wisdom already knows, right? Like that's why we should play in it, because science just catches up to that stuff and proves it. But like our intuition and our heart is where we manifest from anyway. So it's really the most beautiful space. But I was like, okay, but I had this like egotistical part of myself where I was like, I want to be able to prove it though, or I want to understand the mechanics of it. And so that's kind of where I got excited about more of like the sciencey end of things. And of course, psychology, that's like where most of my degrees are from anyway. So I was like, the brain is like the biggest thing that's stopping us from getting what we want in life. It's what's stopping us from manifesting is our mind and what works in there. So like, let's get familiar with it, you know?
Yeah. So how do we do that? How do we shift our mind and make sure that our beliefs in our brain are not standing in the way?
Yeah, I think the first thing is like, we have to understand what is the conversation that's happening in the mind, right? Like, what are we actually saying to ourselves? Because we can sit there for like an hour a day and we can be like, I'm mantraing, or I'm, you know, journaling, and I'm writing out what I want in the world. And sometimes it's powerful enough that it'll carry through to the manifestation. But most often the subconscious mind, I call it the subconscious reel. It's like the thing that never shuts off. So that 1 hour a day is great, but 23 other hours of the day, our subconscious is running the show. It's the thing that's sending out the energy and it's going, you're not worthy of it. You know, you can't have it, whatever it is. So for me, I'm like, let's get like clear on, okay, you want something. Why do you want it? Because intentional energy is important. And then why is it not showing up? Like, what are you afraid of? I think the funniest question I started asking myself when I was trying to figure out how to create my life was, what's the worst thing that can happen if you get everything that you want? Right?
Ooh,
it's so powerful because you're like, no, it'd be great. Everything would be fine. And I'm like, but somewhere inside of us, we think it wouldn't. And it's probably because of our trauma in our past or something we're telling ourselves or a belief or an identity that's like undiscovered. But ultimately, we live and die by our rules and our beliefs. And if that's not in alignment with what we say we consciously want, we have to dive into the subconscious and go, what am I afraid of? You know, what do I think is going to happen? And it's usually a lie anyways.
Yeah.
So then we're like, oh, and it dissipates.
Yeah.
Because you're like, that's not true.
Exactly. Right? Wow. Okay. So how do you suggest that people do that?
I would say the first step, I call it energetic check-ins. I write about this in my other book, actually, on manifestation. But I would say energetic check-ins to start. This is really simple. You just set an alarm on your phone and you can be like, okay, how am I feeling right now? For myself, I still to this day will check in like morning, noon, and night. I just want to know like what's going on inside of me. What am I feeling? What emotions are running through me? Because emotions are like the precursors to consciousness. So they are totally directing our manifestations. So if we have poor emotions, like we're getting triggered all the time or frustrated, that's the energy we're giving off. Quite simple, right? And so we have to see like, what is that conversation? And so energetic check-in is just, how am I feeling? What's going on? Where am I at? Because otherwise we take all of those negative emotions that are kind of like, we can cope with them. We don't really notice until the end of the day or the week. And we're like so frustrated or we like totally blow up on like our partner or something because we haven't dealt with it as soon as it came up. And so we're just building awareness. That's really what energetic check-ins do, is you're building awareness of the thoughts. We have to know what we're telling ourselves before we can do anything with it. So first step is checking in and going, what's going on with me? And then once you have that, you can go, if I feel a way that I don't like to feel, I call it pattern interrupts, and you just do something that's like in opposition to what you'd normally do. So let's say you're like, oh my gosh, my boss just yelled at me. I'm really frustrated. Normally I would just go like sulk in my desk. Instead, maybe you like go for a walk, or maybe you're, you know, courageous enough to sit down with the boss and feel good about something. And so instead it just shifts the energy a little bit more to where you can be like, how can I take this moment and instead of letting it lower my vibration, I'm going to allow for it to lift. Like, what is it? How is it showing up? Like, what does this actually mean for me? And then you can start dissipating it, because anything that can pull an emotion from us, anything that can trigger us, it's got power over us. Mm-hmm. So I don't want anything having power over me more than me having power over myself. And I think that's the difference between us being in control of our life and being in charge of our life. Right? Mm-hmm. So when we're in charge, God, it feels so much better. So energetic check-ins, I'm going all over the place. Mm-hmm.
No, you're not. I'm following. We're all following. Good, okay. We love it. Okay, so the energetic check-ins.
Yeah, so energetic check-ins. Then if you don't like what you find, then you've got to interrupt it in some way. Like, mm-hmm. And that we're neurologically interrupting ourselves, basically, because most often we experience something that we don't like a trigger. And then it shoots off in the same direction in our brain every time because it's a neurological pathway that's been hardwired. Maybe everything that stimulates us somehow roots back to like, I'm not enough, or I'm unworthy, or I am not safe, or, you know, whatever. And so we're constantly looking for things that validate that. And it further strengthens that connection in mm-hmm. our mind. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it's further strengthening it in our vibration, right?
Yeah. And so then we attract more of it. And we call it.
We're like, see?
Us.
Yeah. We're like, it's valid. It's valid. Yes, we're like, no, yes. We just keep asking for it. We don't realize it because it's in the subconscious. So it's just interrupting that pattern. And ultimately, what I feel like that does is it like scratches the disc so that the music can't play anymore, mm-hmm. you know? And that's where true change happens, because now you're at a blank slate again. You go, okay, what am I actually going to feel? What do I choose to feel? What am I going to do from here? Mm-hmm. And then you're back in charge.
Yeah, that's right? So powerful.
Thank you.
Okay, so we had one of the directors of product development at Neurohacker Collective and a naturopathic physician on the podcast recently, Dr. Gregory Kelly. You guys have to listen. It was a favorite episode. It was so good. And we really got deep into the science of senescent cells. And let's just talk about what that means. So as we age, everyone accumulates senescent cells in the body. Senescent cells cause symptoms of aging, such as aches and pains, slow workout recoveries, sluggish mental and physical energy, and just, you know, all of those things that make you feel middle-aged. Also known as zombie cells, they are old and worn out, and they are not serving a useful function for our health anymore, but they're taking up space and nutrients from our healthy cells. So you can imagine it like the pruning of the yellowing and dead leaves off of a plant. Qualia Senolytic removes those worn out senescent cells in our body to allow for the rest of them to thrive in the body. And the amazing, easy thing is you only take it 2 days a month. The formula is non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, and the ingredients are meant to complement one another. So they factor in the combined effects of all of the ingredients together. They also have a 100-day money-back guarantee. I was taking it a lot before I was pregnant, and I cannot wait to take it again after I have this baby. Resist aging at the cellular level. Try Qualia Senolytic. Go to neurohacker.com/balanced for up to $100 off and use the code balanced at checkout for an additional 15% off. Okay, it is officially spring, which means warmer weather and more time on the go. I am loving Vionic, specifically Vionic Vitals, which is an amazing collection with the best essential styles of shoes for everyday wear to get you ready for the season. So I have been wearing, and you've probably seen them on my Instagram, the Uptown Loafer. It comes in 10 shades of premium suede and leather to choose from. Smartly deconstructed to collapse flat, it is perfectly packable for your upcoming travels. I know that you will love it. You will elevate your wardrobe with Vionic Vitals. It is a meticulously crafted collection with daily wear styles designed for perfection, where elegance, comfort, and versatility are paramount. Vital for your wardrobe and vital for your well-being. I love how easy their shopping experience is. I pretty much only shop online. I think you guys know that about me. So you go to their website, you just click on what you want to shop. I clicked on women and then seasonal trends and just kind of scrolled through until I found something that really piqued my interest. I also love that the shoes are really comfortable. So if you have a goal like I do of walking at least 10,000 steps a day, then you will love how comfy these are. They even offer a 30-day guarantee. Wear them, love them, or return for a full refund within 30 days. Use the code BLONDE at checkout for 15% off of your entire order at www.vionicshoes.com. When you log into your account, one-time use only. Vionic shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. What would you say to people who don't even know what they want to manifest, or they don't know what they truly desire because they feel unworthy, or like they're just calling in things that are of the vibration that they're used to instead of raising that vibration and calling in something higher?
Right. Well, hasn't society kind of like taught us what we're supposed to want? Like want money, want a soulmate, want a, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. success. And I worked with so many different people. I have worked with billionaires, celebrities, Olympic athletes, moms, dads, trauma, veterans, addicts, like you name it. I've walked the walk with all of them, and they're all such beautiful people. And I've noticed that regardless of what they have or don't have in life, they don't want the thing. They want the emotional experience that they think the thing is going to give them.
Totally.
And so I think that sometimes we have to stop and go, what do I actually want to feel in life? Let me stop trying to manifest a physical thing, a 3D thing. And let me ask myself, what do I think that that thing is going to fulfill in me? And then we realize that we can fulfill it like many different ways. It just feels mm-hmm. so much better to me, mm-hmm. you know?
Definitely. Yeah, that's a question that people send in often. Like, yeah. how do I know what I want, or how do I get clear?
Yeah, it's like, what do you want to feel every day? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to ask, like, what do I want the world to feel too? Mm-hmm. Right? Like for myself, I just wanted to feel at peace. Like that moment when I dropped to my knees, I was like, I just want to feel at peace. Like, mm-hmm. please just let me feel okay with myself for a moment.
Yes.
And then because I was willing to surrender into that space and find peace, all of these incredible things in my life, you know, completely changed. But it's like, I lifted myself to the vibration in which all the beautiful things existed instead of trying to pull it down to me. Mm-hmm. So it starts with an emotional experience. What do people want to feel? And then who cares what it looks like from there? But what do you want to feel? And everyone can tap into that. I want to feel good. Mm-hmm. I want to feel enough. I want to feel happy, love, whatever. Okay, now we work our way backwards, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Love. Clarity.
Yes, clarity, getting that clarity.
Yeah.
So backing up just a little, I want to hear more about you, and then I want to get back into the principles and the science and everything. But what have you manifested in your life since you were 25?
So many things. Okay. Houses, yes, 3D things, of course. Mm-hmm. My purpose work. I mean, now I've got 3 million students worldwide.
Whoa.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Huge.
So many amazing souls. I've obviously worked with some incredible people. I get to help people every single day. I don't know the exact number anymore because we've lost count, but we're well over 500 people who have not committed suicide because of our work in my company, Authentic Living. It's just so many amazing things. But children as mm-hmm. well. I literally had journaled exactly both of my children, my youngest two, I should say now, how things would happen, different moves I have manifested, exact amounts of money, yes. Like anything you can imagine, I've pretty much created it very consciously because I figured mm-hmm. out how to do it. You know what I mean?
So do you feel like you've been very specific with your manifestations? If it's like the exact amount of money or like the exact way that your children were going to come into the world?
In the beginning, yes, because I needed that, because otherwise my mind would be like, oh, there's so much going on. But I think after a certain point, especially like once I'd kind of healed a lot of my trauma and I felt really good about who I was again, you kind of just sit in this wonderful space all the time and you're like, I'm just open to whatever shows up. And so now I'm more in that space where sometimes I'm like, I want to create something specific and I know how to do that. But then also I like to leave a lot of wiggle room for the divine to be like, I got something better for you. Mm-hmm. So it's just like the space of surrender now, but amazing things just kind of show up.
Mm-hmm. And 3 million students. That's huge. How did you build your business in that way?
So it started very, I didn't think I was going to have a business. I didn't think I'd make money doing like my purpose. And I really can say I love making money. There's nothing wrong with it. No shame to anyone. But I had started with just this intention to serve. And I thought, I'm probably going to join the Peace Corps. Like, I didn't know how I was going to love on the world. I just knew I had to do it. I didn't think it was going to turn into like, you know, speaks and books and, you know, all this cool stuff that it's become. But I think it was just like the very beginning, I just started serving. And it was very viral. And I think people saw the purity in my intention to serve and that I knew what I was talking about. And when I don't know what I'm talking about, I'll be like, I don't know what I'm talking about. So I'm not going to talk about it. You know, like I'm literally here to like help all of these amazing brothers and sisters on this planet, like get to where I feel because it's so amazing. And I think that was kind of contagious. And of course, yes, my husband is an amazing marketer and he was a successful entrepreneur, you know, when we met and everything already, but we kind of combined forces and decided we'd do our purpose work together and it just blew up.
That's incredible. So do you guys teach together?
Sometimes, yes. So he certifies healers. We have multiple businesses, of course, but the ones we're talking about today, he certifies healers and he has different coursework. And I'm more of certifying therapists. Mm-hmm. So we're like the energy and the mind, you know, like we work together.
It's
really
interesting. Yes.
We're a good team.
Absolutely. And what's his sign? We have to know.
He's an Aries.
Oh, okay. Aries season is today.
Yeah.
I actually forgot that today was the beginning of Aries season because it starts a little early in March because I'm always thinking like the 21st is when it often shifts. The 19th. So Aries season, baby. I'm actually happy to leave Pisces season behind. It's a little emotional and watery, but not in a bad way, in a good way.
Releasing.
Yes. So what's your background with psychology?
So I have a degree in psychology. I've done a lot of different courses in neuropsychiatry as well, just because I like to geek out on that stuff. And then I decided I had actually originally gone for becoming a therapist. I wanted to eventually become a psychiatrist. And then I realized I didn't like the red tape that therapists have to go through. I was like, if I can't hug, and when appropriate, of course, I understand why that's not the case. But like, if I can't hug and tell the person that I'm serving that I love them, like that just doesn't feel good to me when they're bearing their souls and I'm helping them heal, like the craziest of things. And so I stepped away from that before completing any of that. And I instead decided that I would just create a life coaching program. So I actually had a university that had asked for me to write a therapy program. And I was like, at the time, therapy wasn't as beautiful as it is today, where everyone's like, yes, we all need therapy. Mm-hmm. We all need a coach. We all need help. So there's still a stigma. So I was like, well, I think if I just go the coaching route, that will allow for me to not have to have any of the red tape that I really want to be able to express like my genuine love and care for people. And so I went that route instead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, therapy.
Throw my ego to the side. Yes. Gosh darn it.
Yes. Therapy's catching on like wildfire. I mean, everybody I know has a therapist or has had a therapist or is open to finding a therapist. So how would you say that therapy fits into manifestation?
I think that our most authentic version of us or our most healed version of us naturally has all the beautiful things we want. And so that kind of becomes the work then is what do we have to release or what do we have to heal so that we can get there? So I think therapy, like if someone's going to therapy to truly heal, sometimes we do go to therapy just to like vent and talk and that's fine and all, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who are ready to roll up their sleeves and be like, what am I carrying with me? And I am ready to set it down, you know? Mm-hmm. And so if it's really like that beautiful type of therapy where someone's ready to grow and to heal, I think when they leave all of that behind, they're starting to remove those beliefs and those limitations. So they're naturally vibrating higher and they're naturally going to reach a state of easier manifestation because of it. So mm-hmm. I think it's deeply important, so integral. I mean, if I was a therapist, I'd say I'm basically doing therapy. Mm-hmm. Just call it coaching instead because I didn't go the certified route. You know what I mean?
Yes. No, yeah. I totally get that. And that was always my block with therapy too, was like the delineation between the therapist and the client or the patient was like, I always wanted to like know about my therapist or like you were talking about hugging or saying, I love you. Like I would just be riddled with this feeling of like, I really want to know if they know what I'm talking about. Or like, are you married? Like, I maybe that just makes me a really curious person. But I think there's so many different ways to go about therapeutic healing now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I so agree with that. And thank gosh that like it's becoming a normal conversation, because again, it had such a stigma that we think there's something wrong with us and we need to shove that down. Let's bring that all to the party. We all have issues. We all have things we're going through. Let's just make sure that we're like finally looking at it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I love what you just said, like us sharing our journey. So even if someone is in a space of serving someone else, they still need to share their journey to show like, hey, I know what I'm talking about, or I am the embodiment of what you're seeking. And I have, you know, I understand it. I've helped it. I've healed it, whatever, too, mm-hmm. you know?
Totally. And then your book that just came out. Yes. So exciting. Okay. Remind me the title. It's The Promise.
The Eight Secrets is my old one. That's the one I kept talking about.
Oh,
sorry.
But that's the one that I was listening to this morning. Yes. So sorry that I'm getting everything confused. Totally okay. Pregnancy brain. Everybody listening. I'm allowed to have a few
brain
slip ups.
Too, yeah.
I feel the brain fog hitting. But I love what I listened to this morning. So that was your previous book.
8 Secrets to Powerful Manifesting. It's a mouthful.
I can't wait to read the whole thing and or listen to the whole thing. And was that you on the audiobook?
Yes.
Your voice?
Yeah, I know. Everyone's like, no one reads their own books. I'm like, how could I not?
You
like, there's an energetic transmission.
Voice for it.
Thank
yeah,
you.
It was so, listening to it was actually almost like listening to a meditation.
I love that.
On the way here, I was like kind of trying to do a bunch of things at once, obviously. Driving, sitting at a red light, sending an email, hearing it. And I was hearing this like, energetic transmission.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, every time, this was a promise I made to myself and to the people I serve, like whether I'm doing a podcast or I am going to do an audiobook or I'm getting on stage or whatever, I always get myself into like a state. Like I pray first and I make sure that I can be like a vessel. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like a prep that I do
100%.
So that it's hopefully felt. So thank you for validating that.
I feel it. I felt it. Okay, so the new book.
Yes, The Promise. Yep. And it's got some manifestation indirectly in it, but it's all about like truly raising your vibration and all the things that we've been through or we're going through. How do we like see it from a different light? How do we transmute it basically into something that's easier to digest or heal or understand? And so it's like my love letter to humanity.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And you talk about the science of manifestation in that book.
In the 8 Secrets I do. And The Promise, I like toggle with it because I love science and psychology. So it's embedded in all my books. But it's a little bit more hidden, I would say, in The Promise. Whereas I'm like, this study in the mm-hmm. book that you're listening to right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Fun. So what can you tell us about like the science itself of manifestation? Because I know the listeners are probably a lot like me in the sense that we believe it, we love it, we live this life, but how can we draw it back to what other people believe as real?
Yeah, so I think there's two avenues we can go with. First would be neuroscience, so I'll talk about that. Again, how our brains are wired, how we have thoughts, what type of neurohormones we release and all that deciphers the energy that we output. And that's not like our vibe in like a, you know, a cliche way. It's like literally a vibration that is measurable that comes off of us, right? It could be high or low. And so I look at that in the sense of if our brains are currently wired, you know, the neurological pathways are detrimental to us, they're rooted in avoiding pain and trauma and all that, then we're not going to get what we want. One, because we're not looking for it. Two, because we're not the version of us that can handle it, achieve it, experience it, maintain it, none of it. We don't have those tools because our whole essence is basically in that moment built to protect us, to keep us small, to, you know, not be seen, not shine our light, you fill in the blank, whatever. And so that's what we continue to get because that's the energy that we are giving off, as well as the only thoughts we're making available to us. Because it's like so simple, just like when you're solving a problem, you can say, oh, this is why I have this problem. All of your energy goes towards being sad you have this problem. Or the very simple shift of, how do I solve this problem? Whatever you ask your brain, you will find. And so again, what are we actually asking it? And just by, it sounds so simple, but just by asking ourselves better questions, we're opening our vibration to shift as well. So we're not releasing those same neurohormones. We're not causing all that stress, not allowing for us to not access parts of our brain because of it. And we have the full panorama of the human experience at our, you know, beck and call again. and we're seeing with clarity, which allows for us to live in possibility and see all the different, you know, solutions. Again, changes our vibe. And then from like, you know, quantum physics. And again, I'm high level. I'm not saying that I probably stopped studying quantum physics like 8 years ago. But that's, I think that's quite simplistic and similar in that sense of what is the energy that we are giving outwardly, the observer effect, like how are we observing our reality? What do we expect to happen? Well, of course it will in so many ways, even if we're like, but I expected this thing. Somewhere inside of us, in a crevice of our subconscious mind, there was another expectation. So we were having a conversation in the quantum field, unbeknownst to us perhaps, because the subconscious is kind of sneaky like that, that there was still something else happening. And so that vibration gets a little bit more disrupted, mm-hmm. if you will.
Mm-hmm. Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I simple. Love that. I think it's simple, right? It's like, okay, yes, there's science. We can make it crazy, but
of course,
at least we understand how it works.
Yeah. What I love about quantum physics and the reason that I got into it, even though science was just something that I always hated,
yeah.
even physics when I did that
yeah.
way back in high school, middle school, I started looking into and reading about quantum physics because I believe deeply in parallel realities and
yes.
parallel universes and the string theory and all these things where it's science.
Yes.
And when I started looking it up, I'm like, there are books about this.
Yes.
About, yeah, basically just the science of our reality.
Yeah.
And it's kind of crazy when you start to think of it that way. But yeah. I believe in parallel realities that we can timeline hop into a different reality,
absolutely.
Which is manifestation, basically.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll tell you a crazy story. This is like matter displacement, but kind of time hopping. So I remember we were sitting in Laguna Beach at one of our favorite resorts. This was years ago. And I was asked to write some article. I was answering questions to some interview on my little iPad. And I was laying in bed. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, he's like, let's go eat. We haven't eaten for a while. And so I go and I set my iPad down. And I just leave it. We go out to eat. We come back and it's gone. And they had cleaned up the room and stuff. So I'm like, oh, like it'll show up. And we're checking out the next day. Cannot find the iPad. And I'm like, there's stuff. Because I didn't do the whole like where your cell phone connects to your iPad, connects mm-hmm. to your computer. They're mm-hmm. all separate devices. So you yes. lose the device, I lose everything. And I was like, there's really important stuff on that iPad. Like, did the cleaners throw it in the wash? Like, what happened to it? Where is it? And all of a sudden I'm like, we're sitting out and there's dolphins swimming by because we're like just waiting to see if we can find it. And there's dolphins swimming by the same time I have this weird thought. And I'm like, I can move this iPad. I know I can matter, like I can move it somehow. And so I just imagined moving it for a moment. And it was just like a momentary thought. And then it like went away. And I was like, okay, anyway, and just got distracted again. And so we drive back to his mom's house. She lives in California as well. And we couldn't find the iPad still. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't know where I'd moved it. If I'd done it, I was like, right, Mandy, you can really move this. Sure, you know. And we get to his mom's house and it's sitting on the bed. And I'm like,
oh,
and it looks
God.
Like just like that. And I'm like, no, I'm like, again, second guess myself. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. There's no way. Like, no way. I must have just forgotten. And we're like rushing to get to the airport. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on. So anyways, grab the iPad and then we get on the plane. And this like almost audible voice once we're on the plane goes, check the timestamp. Because again, my devices don't talk to each other.
Uh-huh.
I check the timestamp. And we were at that resort the entire day when I was doing that thing. We'd been there for a mm-hmm. few days. So there was no way that I could have like gone to his mom's house and written in it because it'll timestamp in your notes.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed that that day when we were at the resort, I was answering those interview questions, but the iPad magically just appeared at his mom's house in a completely different place.
Oh my God.
And that stuff, like that happens a lot to me mm-hmm. in different ways. But I was like, there was literally no way. I went through everything trying to just like disprove it. And I was like, no. Of course our minds can move matter. Of course we
yeah.
can manifest everything we want, like instantaneously too. We just have to believe it to be true.
That's
you know?
The coolest thing I've ever heard. I'm already thinking about all the things I want right. to try to locate that I've lost. Oh my God.
Isn't that wild?
Yes. I've had similar things like that. It's like the glitch in the Matrix story.
Yes.
Which are my favorite things
yes.
to look at on TikTok. I had one TikTok go viral. It was like just a Matrix glitch situation. What even was this? This was when my son was like 6 months old and I put a little beanie on his head and the logo was completely upside down. It was just like a logo that said some random brand.
Yeah.
And just looked weird. I'm like, okay, that's funny. And it's all on video. The logo's upside down, but we didn't see it at the time.
Yeah.
And then there's another video later that day where the logo is right side up. And I posted this. I'm like, you got, and I, of course, I'm like freshly postpartum and all this stuff is going on. I'm like, this is a glitch in the matrix. And so many people wrote in, no, you just folded it up. And I'm like, no, I didn't. Because if you fold it up, it covers the logo. Like, it's the whole thing. And then I showed the hat to prove to them. To the naysayers, even though this was all funny to me. I'm like, I don't know, maybe it is some kind of like
we always second guess
error
it.
that I made when putting the hat on him. But also, there's no way there's one logo. It's a beanie. So like, you can't put a beanie on upside down. Anyways, it was a whole thing. And I'm just obsessed with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It reminds us of the magic of like this, experience, the human experience.
Yeah.
So we get so stuck in other things. And I'm let's have some fun. Like, let's remember what we're capable of, you know?
It is fun. Yeah. We're powerful. We're powerful creatures.
Amen.
Okay. So you're a powerful businesswoman, speaking of power, and you also have a couple babies. Well, you have a 9-month-old and a 4.5-year-old and a 13-year-old.
Yeah, totally different stages of life. I'm like, whoa.
How do you juggle it all?
I do have help, I will say. We didn't in the beginning, but one of the things I think that I'm so blessed with is that we have great family who helps with the kids and childcare and stuff like that. But outside of that, it's still absolute madness. Like, my kids are all home. They're all homeschooled. So I see them like 20 times a day. It's not like I'm like, great, I have 8 hours to actually get everything done throughout the day. It is like sporadic and broken up. But that's kind of how my mind works. So I just kind of leaned into, here's how I'm wired. And it's just, it just flows through me. You know, mm-hmm. I think when you, I have multiple businesses, but all of them I love and it's fun. So it doesn't feel like work. And so it just, the time passes quickly and I involve my children in my work. You know, sometimes they're like at my events and stuff like that. My son, my 13-year-old was just at the Saban Theater. We were speaking and he's in the crowd, you know, and I see his little face and I'm like, I love this. Like, for him to be a part of all this. Yeah. And that he can come along. So I think it's just like throwing the ideas and identities of who I think I have to be in order to accomplish what I want to accomplish, like being a good mom and being successful and doing all of it. It's like, it's a day-to-day process for me. And I'm going to make sure that I do what feels light and right. And it takes care of itself. And it sounds weird, but just being in the flow of it.
Yeah, it doesn't sound weird at all. Yeah. And how's the homeschool life? That's something that I've looked into so much.
Oh my gosh.
And I love the idea, but I also don't love the idea. For me, like, I don't know. I'm so curious.
By all means, I am not a teacher. I do not homeschool my children.
I'm like, I love homeschool. I'm not going to be the teacher.
No, my oldest is in a private online school. So he's got kind of all of his stuff and it's really, you know, interactive. And then my toddler, I have a full-time teacher and she comes and she is amazing. We call her like our Mary Poppins. Uh-huh. And so she, you know, educates him. So I cannot take any credit for their education. It's just how it goes.
And then how did you decide to do homeschool?
I think the biggest thing was we're constantly traveling. So I was like, I am not going to try to, you know, accommodate an in-person schedule because we live in this tiny town, like I was telling you before we jumped on, and that's just not going to happen. So we're traveling all the time. We're doing a lot of different things. So we just decided it's going to be like the school of life, more or less. And that's how it's going to, you know, work for us. But I've loved it. And I think the kids do fantastic with it. It's just our lifestyle. So it's what works. And I think sometimes parents are like, what works for my kid? Or like, I've got to do everything for my kid in a certain way. And I'm like, kind of more European style where I'm like, the kids come along with the parents. Like, you fit into my life too. You
totally.
Know? And I think that's healthy.
I think it's so healthy too. Right? That was the original reason that I love the idea of homeschool.
Yeah.
Was we could have homes all over. We don't have to be in one place. But yeah, you have to research, of course, like the best programs. And it sounds like you guys have done all of the above. So that's perfect.
It was a journey. We definitely chose some schools that we didn't like and we found ones that we do and you know, teachers and so forth, but we're in a really good place right now with the kids for it.
That's so fun. Yeah. Boy mom. Yeah. You're such a boy mom.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Do you guys want to have any more kids?
You know, it's so funny. It's like I tell my husband, because he's like, it's cheaper by the dozen, babe. Let's just keep going. And I'm like, you don't have to carry them around. Like,
I know.
But I think it's probably my biology speaking more than my mental health. But I'm like, I think I want one more. Not right now, because I'm kind of in go mode, work mode. But, you know, and finally, I'm just coming out of you know, breathing through having a 9-month-old. He's mm-hmm. just now getting, you know, he's eating solids now. And so we can, you know, I can be gone for a mm-hmm. podcast. Whereas I'd be like, I wouldn't even do it because I'd be like, I have to be with my baby all the time. Yeah. You know, I'm totally that mom. So
me too. I'm like, it really is like a 9-ish month portal. That's kind of what I'm preparing for again the second time around.
Yeah.
My first child, we didn't have a nanny or anything until he was like 9 months old.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it differently this time. But that was all I knew the first time. And I
just couldn't
be separated. Yeah. I didn't even want anyone holding him. I mean, I was pretty relaxed with certain people, but it's just the mother's intuition.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. And I didn't know what postpartum anxiety was, but I totally had it. Like, I didn't have any depression, but I look back, I'm like, I was a nut. I was so scared of everything. And I now comparing it, and I'm sure you'll do this too, like comparing it with my next child, I was like, I'm so much chiller this time around. Like, everything's going to be fine. So
I'm looking forward to that because I had so much postpartum anxiety, postpartum OCD, which took me like a year to realize that I even had.
Yeah.
It's just
like, what
is
it? What do you do with it?
Yeah.
You
know? It's such a massive lifestyle change.
It is. It really is.
Okay, so let's do a little manifestation exercise so everybody listening can also do this. You guys can think about what it is that you want to call into your life. Maybe you know what you want to manifest, or maybe you just want to come up with it now. But I know what I want to manifest. So we've been looking for a home.
Okay.
It's been a long process of looking for a house. And at first it was buying a house, then it was renting a house, and then it was like, we just need more space. And it's been a whole thing. Usually, I'm a very powerful manifester. Like, only until kind of this season of my life are there now things that I feel like I really desire that are harder to call in, where I'm like, oh, I'm really in a different season of life. What are your tips for not blocking myself, not getting in my own way, not subconsciously hearing generational patterns of like, you have to buy a house, or like, that's too expensive, blah, blah.
I would say address those things. So I think often we go, oh, no, I'm having a negative thought about this. Let me push it away. It's like, no, let's look at it. Like, open it up. What does it mean? Where does it come from? So if you're like, I realize that I feel like everything is too expensive for what I want. Okay, well, that sounds like a fantastic block or a thought that we need to work through. Because I can say as well, right after I had my middle child, technically my first, whatever, because I have a bonus son mm-hmm. as well. After I had him, I was like, this is not the house for us. And we were stuck in a lease and all that stuff. And I was like, this is not it. This is not what it's supposed to be. And so I'd set the intention. I'm ready to move. And that's it. And I tried the humanistic avenues of like, let me ask the land, you know, all that stuff. They were like, you're not breaking your lease. You can't leave early, blah, 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 whatever. I was like, we're all rats. Okay, then I won't go the human version. Let's go to the, you know, beautiful manifestation. And I set intentions. Okay, what do I need to heal that helps me move into this next version? Because houses hold an incredible vibration. It represents literally a new version. Mm-hmm. Like my husband and I, whenever we buy a new home or about our retreat center and stuff, it represented a vibrational jump that we had made. And so we had to prepare for that vibrational jump, right? And that was expanding ourselves, whether that's expansion of, you know, further healing our problems, our roots, talking about them. But if you're like, okay, I want the house, I would say literally put it up on a whiteboard and be like, okay, I want a house. What do I want it to feel like? Right? Let's bring the good emotions in. What do I want it to be experienced as? And leave as much wiggle room as you can. But also, you know, your specifics, that's fine. You know, throw them down there, but be wiggly about how they'll show up. And then you go, okay, why do I think it can't happen? And then you can list all of the reasons that it's, you know, well, because LA is a crazy market, blah, blah, blah. Like, who cares, right? We can matter displace. Mm-hmm. So those rules get to get thrown out. But we want to know what we're working against. So just be like, okay, what are my rules here? Or what do I believe I have to do or be or become? Because maybe like somewhere inside of yourself, you're like, well, because I'm going to take 9 months, you know, off, then, and I don't know if this is true or not, of course, mm-hmm. just throwing ideas, but you could be like, then I'm not going to be bringing in as much money because I'm not going to be working. And then I don't want to have to pay for a bigger house because that makes me stressed out or whatever. You know, like that's stuff we want to address. We want to know why we think that, right? Mm-hmm. Because we can have mailbox money, I call it, where it just kind of shows up mm-hmm. and you don't have to do anything for it just because we're in the right vibration. So I think, again, throwing it up on the whiteboard, you know, that's what I call it, or journaling it out and being like, okay, what do I think I have to do? Who do I think I have to become? What has to happen to get there? And if there's anything that feels like a block, then you go, is it real? Is this a block? And can I deal with it energetically or humanistically? Mm-hmm. You know?
Whoa. That's a lot, so good. No, not at all. Not too much. It's okay, like, good. Whoa, in a powerful way. Like, I want to go home and matter displaced right now. Like, yeah. Let's get rid of all of these limitations. I never used to feel those limitations. I felt, I don't know what it was about my personality or just who I came into this world being. I've always believed in the magic of the universe. I've never, ever believed in limitations. But it's just this new season of life, which is causing me to up level, and it's escalating my spiritual journey. And it's been a huge evolution, and I'm so thankful for it. And it makes me a better teacher because I'm like, okay, no, I do get it. Not everything comes so easily.
Yeah.
But once you shift into that new vibration, it can be easy.
It can. So, and I don't know if this is the same for you, but it was for me. Something about motherhood grounds you. So it sounds like you're normally like floating and like, yeah. And me too. I was like, life is great. Yes. But then all of a sudden children just slap you down to the ground.
That's because what it is.
Yeah. You're like, I need to be a mother. And again, maybe that's the rules. Maybe it has nothing to do with the house. Maybe it's, who do I want to be as a mom? Who do I think I have to be as a mom? Like for myself, I had so many rules that needed to go out the window of what I thought a good mother was because I had experienced different things as a child. And so maybe that's really what you're addressing, because sometimes the root that's connected, it has nothing to do with money.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with whatever it is.
I think you're right.
Right?
I think it's a big thing about like that feeling of how, what kind of mother that I feel like I need to be.
Yeah.
And the guilt of feeling like I work and I'm not around as much as like mothers should be, quote unquote.
You, I bet you don't want to get a bigger house because you think that you'll have to work harder. Therefore, you won't be there for your kids. Therefore, you'll be a bad mom.
Literally could make me cry. That's exactly what it is. I'm like, if we stay where we are and we stay super safe,
then I'll
and
be a
in
good
this
mom.
Cocoon, and, like, I could literally just be a stay at home mom and still do what I do, but not have to like be gone more necessarily.
Yes.
Oh my God.
So you just don't want to be an absent mom, which is a beautiful root. But now that's what you address. Okay, how am I going to make sure that I feel good as a mother of who I am? And also that I'm not thinking that the only way to have another home or a bigger home or whatever is through this financial means. And it can show up many different ways. Or maybe, oddly enough, I mean, literally the houses that we've manifested, people have been like, oh, we're just going to give you a bunch of money off. And we're not even asking for it. And I'm like, it just went into our price range.
Yes.
How did this happen? So, you know, just...
I believe in all of that. Absolutely.
So if you're healing that, like, the mother thing that we all go through, if you heal that, I bet everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah. That's the main thing. Oh my gosh. Huge. Thank you. What a good exercise. Hopefully everybody listening can apply that to whatever it is your manifestation is, because our blocks are not all that different, whether it's a home, whether it's a career, love, like we stand in our own way. The only thing in our own way is us.
Yeah. Fear of enter the blank.
Totally. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a couple rapid fires that I ask everyone. So we know you're a Scorpio. Do you know what your moon and your rising are?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll look it up at some point.
Cool.
Does that mean that you might not know your human design?
I think, oh gosh, babe, am I a generator? I'm either a manifester or a generator.
Okay.
He's a manifester. I want to say I'm a generator, which is interesting, but I'm not
100%. You could be a manifesting generator.
I might be.
Mm-hmm.
I had it done and I cannot remember. It was so long
ago. Any of the above seem like they would fit you. You seem very energized. Like, obviously, you're good at manifesting, but we know all the types can do that.
Yeah.
If you could have dinner with three people, dead or alive, who would they be?
I've had dinner with so many amazing people. I would say Jesus, Buddha, and Mother Teresa.
Incredible. I love it. You went straight for all the deceased.
All of them.
I do that too.
Get me all the dead people.
Yeah, exactly. Because anybody else who is alive, you can just make it happen.
Right.
Manifest.
Yeah.
What are you excited about right now?
My book, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
The Promise is going to be such an, I hope at least, you never know how the world will receive a book, but I just feel so good about it.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud of it.
I'm so happy that we have you on the launch day.
I know.
And this is a Hay House book, yes?
It is.
We love Hay House.
I love Hay House.
The most incredible.
Yeah.
Love.
They're good family.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's the toughest lesson that you've ever been through?
Oh, so many. I think one of the biggest ones would be like shining my light and sitting in my power with my father. My dad was an addict and he just had a really tumultuous life. And towards the end of his life, we had a really rocky relationship. I write about it in The Promise. And it was this moment where I was like, I'm not just going to be like the daughter to the, you know, the father type relationship, because that's not working. I'm going to be soul to soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I stood in my light And I called him out lovingly, and I held like unconditionally loving space for him to heal and to choose something better. And he did. And then he passed away right after. But it was so hard, like, you know, standing up to my father because I love him so much and I knew it was going to hurt him, but it was the right thing.
Wow. That's amazing. I can't wait to read the book.
Thank you.
And where can everyone find you?
So Facebook, Instagram, Manifest with Mandy. But the book specifically for those who want to jump into that is discoverthepromise.com. We have tons of really cool bonuses that come with it. So now is the time to snag it.
Ooh, can't wait. Yeah. Amazing. Well, thank you so much. This was so fun.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the show. I'm so happy that you're here. Come say hi on Instagram at The Balance Blonde and tell me what your favorite part of this episode was. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and send me a screenshot of your rating and review for a free Soul on Fire yoga ebook. See you next Wednesday. Love you guys.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.